You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
Dave Hodges is as mad as hell, and he's not gonna take it anymore.
I'd like to help you, doctor, if I really would, but the din in my head, it's too much and it's no good. I'm standing in a window tunnel, shouting through the roar, and I'd like to give you information, asking for help, but blood makes noise. It's ringing in my ear, blood makes noise, and I can't really hear you in the thickening of fear.
Common sense is not so common. This is the Common Sense Show with Dave Hodges.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome to another exciting edition of the Common Sense Show. This is your host, Dave Hodges, joined by Katie Whalen, whose health report will be presented to you in the third hour, and I'm certain that she's going to be taking on some biggies. I mean, 2 weeks ago was the FDA and the CDC. I can only imagine what's next. We've got a terrific show for you tonight. In just a moment, we're going to be joined by Lisa Haven, and she's one of my colleagues over at Before It's News, and I think, for my money, her and Michael DePinto produced the best video documentaries on the web. I mean, it's bar none. They're one and two. Take your pick. Flip a coin. But we're going to be talking about a number of things that Lisa's been covering, from the UN to what's it like in hell. And, of course, if Hillary Clinton's elected, we'll all know what it's like in hell. And in the second hour, we're going to be joined by an old friend, Virginia Farver. And Virginia has come across some really, really disturbing stuff about cell phones, cell phone towers. And you go, Dave, you guys have covered that before. Uh-uh. Nothing like this. This is going to make you lose sleep, literally and figuratively. And if this isn't depopulation, which he's going to be presenting, there's no such thing. Before we get started, let me just remind you, we're brought to you by our very, very good friends, people who sponsor our show and make it possible for us to come to you live every Sunday evening. And the first of which is Renaissance Precious Metals, my very good friend Steve Quayle, who's no stranger to this show. He should be no stranger to anybody. One of the best websites out there at stevequayle.com. But in particular, Steve is offering a service that we can't ignore. With the economy on the verge of collapse, only fools keep the bulk of their money in their bank account when they have an option. And Steve gives you an option. Now, if he can't help you, he'll be the first one to tell you. There is no pressure whatsoever. But I'm a happy customer, gold and silver customer, being stored at unmentioned locations. And I can't recommend Steve any more than I could possibly say. I give him my highest recommendation. Give Steve a call tomorrow, 406-586-4842. Again, that's 406-586-4842. We're also brought to you by Ready-Made Resources, my good friend Bob Griswold. And he's got some new survival stuff he's working on, and he's going to join us at the end of the month. And in the meantime, if you think that you need something for prepping, you think you're inadequate in a certain area, or even if you don't know, you can give him a call, and he'll talk to you over the phone. He'll consult with you. It's free of charge. No pressure on the sales. He'll just say, hey, this is what I've got. This is what we're trying to do. He's got anything you would need. And I'd encourage you to go to his website after the show at readymaderesources.com and give him a call in the morning at 800-627-3809. Again, that's 800-627-3809. Well, I'm coming out with a podcast in the morning that's talking about how in Venezuela they're now breaking into zoos and eating the animals. How far beyond can the people be? Seriously. This is such a grave, grave situation there. And that leads into our other sponsor for this hour, Numana Foods. Listen, it's not too late, but it's almost too late to get prepared for what's coming. When the economy crashes, and folks, it's only a matter of time, and I'm not going to quote to you the statistics you've heard me say so many times, but it's just a matter of time. And the stock market will be the key. And if Hillary Clinton's elected, the market will crash on the first day because she's going to tax transactions. Yeah, that'll make market go away, economy collapses, food stops moving. What are you going to do? Well, I tell you what you need to do. You need to go to numana.com/Hodges for the very best in pricing, the very best quality. It's gourmet-tasting food. I mean, I've been so impressed with the quality. Again, that's numana.com/Hodges. Okay, those are the fine people that are bringing us the first hour. And let me put it this way. I want to send a shout-out to my good friend Joshua Coy. He's been under the weather. He's got a lot of health concerns, and he may choose to share them with you. I'm not going to air all of them here. I don't think it's my place. But I had some communication with Josh last night, and we're going to try to get him on the air next week for an hour, God willing, and his health holding up. And, of course, he's brought us some classic interviews. And he's a great talk show host in his own right, WYDE in Alabama. And I just wanted to send a shout-out to Josh, and please keep him in your prayers because his health is not good and he needs all the support he can get. Well, that leads us into our first guest, Lisa Haven. And Lisa is almost my neighbor, kind of, sort of, 50 miles away, but in this business, that's pretty close. And our families are going to plan to get together here pretty soon, and Lisa and I have talked about doing some collaboration, and if I'm not her number one fan, I don't know who would be, because like I said in the intro, she produces the very, very best in video documentaries. And here to join us is Lisa Haven. Hi, Lisa, and thanks for joining us.
Hi, Dave. I'm so happy to be on, and you're one of my favorite also, so that's awesome.
Yeah, our moms told us to say that to each other. So, but anyway, look, it's really an honor to have you on again. We had Chris Kitsky on last Sunday. Boy, wow, was he really informative. And that's the thing. We got some really good people that come out of Before It's News. I mean, quality journalists. There's about five or six people there that can hold their water against anybody. And you're one of those people. So let me tell you what got my attention with your work over the last 2 weeks, and it jumped right to the front of the line. And that's what you were saying about the UN being inside our borders and they're up to no good. Let's talk about that for a moment.
Yeah, I've actually done a few reports in this past week because it's like when you delve into one side, another side pops its ugly head. You know how that is. But yeah. The UN is... We're almost the United States of the UN anymore versus of America. When I see, I did a report, I don't know, about a year ago, in which I specifically went through all the states here in America, state by state, and you can find a UN division in each and every single state. And not only that, but in tons of our colleges, even in our high schools, they have UN-geared organizations, UN-geared programs. I mean, they even go under that title. Now, they may not be affiliated with the UN, some are, some are not. However, the fact that they're pushing it at a high school level to a college level and then up in our cities and our states at a state level, I mean, they are truly taking over. And it's like we've allowed this foreign entity, foreign power, ultimate control. And it makes me wonder why anyone, I mean, when you get into power and you get into, you know, government and things like that, there a lot of them are power hungry, and there's good and bad in every division. But it makes me question, you know, why would Obama or Hillary or whoever's in the presidency, why are so many of them willing to hand over their powers, so to speak, to the UN? So there's a lot more to it that I think gets kind of pushed under the rug, but there's power promises done underneath the table. There's blackmail, which Hillary, we all know, is involved hardcore in that. That's the reason she got away with, or thus far, I guess, is getting away with her email scandal, Benghazi scandal, her continuous lies, you know, the amount of blackmail that is going on is sick and disturbing. And if you don't have something on you, chances are you're not going to make it to the presidency, or they're going to do everything they can to get you out unless you're easily blackmailable. And you've got to be pro-UN because they've allowed a foreign entity in to take over underneath the radar. And that's exactly what they've done with Common Core as well. Now, if you dig into Common Core a little deeper, though it was developed by people here also in the U.S., it's got a lot of UN involvement in it. It's a United Nations curriculum. This is something they don't want just domestically. They want it worldwide to have this New World Order curriculum, this New World Order ruling force. And everybody's promised certain powers on this world system, and not all of them are going to get it. That's the thing. There are a bunch of world leaders that are promised the world, and when this world leader hits, you know, they're going to get the tail end of it, so to speak, and likely get taken over. So there's lots of corruption that is taking place, and I think the very core of it is the United Nations, which is why we should never turn our back to that organization.
Well, you're absolutely right. In fact, I've done a fair amount of research on the Common Core issue as well, and it originated with something called Education for All, which was an independent think tank group set up by UNESCO, which is the educational arm of the UN. They worked out of Paris, France. And the way they got Common Core here was they brought it in, like so many UN programs, to the Presidential Council on Sustainability. And then, voila, it was thrust upon the 50 states. And it's so illegal. I mean, the whole Department of Education is so unconstitutional. There's nowhere in our Constitution it calls for a Department of Education. And when you federalize education, Lisa, it just goes to hell in a handbasket. In fact, let me give you one quote to kind of wrap up my thought here. If we go back to the previous program before Common Core, which was kind of like Common Core Jr., No Child Left Behind, or as I like to say, No Child Left Without a Behind, when that came in under Bush, and now we measure what the impact of that is, and now we've got time for real-time data. Reading comprehension scores when we have federalized education have gone down 40 points. That's the net effect. And, of course, you know, in Common Core, they promote alternative lifestyles that may not fit the majority, but it's coerced. It's coerced participation. My son goes through this in math, where it's the most ridiculous thing I ever thought. When I was in math, and I was good at math, I taught statistics for years at the college level, and if I could figure out a way to do a problem, Lisa, I did it. But unfortunately, what ends up happening here is these kids have to use three methods to solve every problem, and all three are already prescribed. No creativity, no ingenuity, simple rote memorization. No thinking for yourself. And that in really kind of encapsulates my objection to Common Core. You're right on the money with that.
And it's disturbing. And that's the thing. And you're 100% right. I mean, the UN's got their fingers all over this thing. And the fact that it even got in our school system shows you the amount of corruption. I mean, they offered money in the world for these states to throw out their curriculum that they spent years putting together, and each one different, each one unique, and that's the way it should be. And instead, they threw it out the door, a majority of them did, in acceptance of this ludicrous Common Core, which, like you said, it is... Those are disturbing, even worse. The statistics, our kids have gotten dumber as a result, unfortunately, if we're just going to put it that way. And it was supposed to do the opposite, and obviously it's not doing that. Now, another way that the UN has, now I put out a report on Before It's News, something sickening being hidden from the public. UN and U.S. are planning a major event. Well, Maine Key, she's a representative of the UN Human Rights Council, or Maina, M-A-I-N-A. Is that how you pronounce that? I may be stating that
Your
wrong.
Your guess is as good as mine on that, yeah.
But she's a representative of the UN Human Rights Council. And what she was pushing through was that the Department of Justice needs to provide more, or she's pushing that we need to give more improvements to our police officers in our cities via consent decrees. Now, consent decrees, what those basically are in a nutshell, they resolve disputes, but you have to do them through the DOJ. In this particular case, when you put them on the law enforcement agency, it's just more rigmarole, longer paperwork, and more regulations for our local PDs. Well, what I see happening with this, and there's already consent decrees, I believe, in 20 different cities across the country, and it may be larger now. That was the last time I checked. But now they want to put these in all of the cities. This is something that they're pushing for. Well, what does that do? Does it fully federalize the police force? No, it doesn't. However, what it does do is it's a huge step in that direction. When you have state, we have our police officers, we have, in our cities and our local communities, that's controlled, by your community and at state level. You kind of handle that within your state, within your cities, and your police departments have different rules, regulations by state. Well, this kind of, and they're doing it in the name of racism, and they do everything in the name of that. There's too much racist going on, and we need to be equally all colors equal when they are equal. There are extremes, okay, but there is much less going on than the mainstream is claiming. And I've done intense studies on the police department, and is there really a claim one way or the other? And the don't shoot the messenger, but what it turned out to be is, yes, more blacks were shot by police officers. That was true when you take minority into account, because a lot more whites than blacks. However, more blacks also shot at police officers than a white suspected person, which in effect would kind of, and I'm obviously I'm not racist. My son ain't even white. So, I mean, that card's not here to play with me, but when you make that the case, well, of course, any person is going to be more on edge if, statistically speaking, one has a higher chance of shooting you than the other. And then when you consider minorities, that makes that number go even higher, with the blacks shooting the cops. But here's one other thing that they weren't saying is the majority of the cops shooting the black people are black and Hispanic shooting black people. Very few of them were white. And it was like two-thirds. It was a black cop shooting a black man, or a Hispanic cop shooting a black man versus a white cop shooting a black man. Does that make sense?
Oh, absolutely, yeah. And it's not a matter of racism. It's a matter of police functioning. In other words, training your police officers to follow protocols.
Yes. Now, that's I kind of got sidetracked there, but there is no discrimination race card, therefore, to be played. Now, there are certain cases that need to be dealt with, and where there was a race crime, that should be dealt with between the individuals, between the cities, and so on and so forth. That does happen, obviously. Now, that aside, what they're doing is they're saying, okay, we need to put it all under the DOJ, so they have to answer more rigmarole, more, all based on discrimination needs and more. It doesn't stay there. We all know that. It hasn't stayed there. And they have to do this with the DOJ via the consent decrees. And, here's what I say is, this is a form. It's not a full-fledged federalization, and that's what upsets me, is because organizations like Snopes says this is what conspiracy theories are. It's false, and no one even said that, but it is absolutely a step in the wrong direction. We don't want to go through with this. I mean, we already have enough federalized organizations. We have the FBI, we have the DEA, the ATF, DHS, TSA, we have all these governmental run organizations, and here they want to put more onto our local PDs. So it's taking more power from the police and giving them to your federal level. And why is the UN for this? Well, because they have their hands in the pie too. They know if we can take the rules of the rights, I guess the rights away from the state and more in the arms of the federal government, which the UN doesn't have their hands as much in the state legislation, it's more in the Fed. They've got our federal government and them work a lot of in hand, unfortunately, but not so much at the state level. So if we can take those rights from the states, you know, that's the UN's mindset, and put them in the federal, well, now we've got a federal force, and then eventually, I personally feel that the goal is eventually going to put it in the hand of the UN and eventually the New World Order. And that's kind of the direction that you're headed if you're either for them or against them, with them or not against them. And then they're going, I mean, they're already targeting, you know, patriot forces. I mean, these are the purposes that we've had things like Jade Helm, get the people used to police force on the streets. That's another thing, because then in your bigger cities, if they ever do implement, you know, a federalized force because of riots or whatever, then, you know, the people are used to it and we have that sense of control. So, I mean, there's a little more to it, but does that make sense?
No, listen, it makes total sense, because when you eradicate the 10th Amendment, that's what really ultimately you're talking about is happening. You centralize power, and that's the first step towards a dictatorship, and a dictatorship that could be handed over to the United Nations. I don't think the transition is going to be peaceful, but I think this is an effort on the part of some of the globalists to make this a peaceful transition into us being under total UN dictatorial control with no Bill of Rights. I have a couple questions on what you were talking about here, though. First of all, what was that lady's name, Miana?
It was... UN, M-A-I-N-A, and then K-A-I. On a cow.
Okay. Yeah, I don't want to call her cow, because then I'll get letters.
UN Human Rights Council is what...
Okay, I got that.
It's a he. I'm sorry. Did I say she?
Oh, it's a he?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
God knows what country
UN
they dug
special...
this person up from.
Yes. Uh-huh.
Okay, now you mentioned the decrees. Is this going to be put in place for criminal proceedings, or is this for civil resolution?
Criminal, I believe. Gosh, I'm not 100% on that. But I know it's more of, in certain situations, you know, if there's a certain dispute, or, you know, like what happened in Ferguson, or,
right,
you know, with black on white, they step in and they make their presence known. But that's not all it is. It's for the bigger issues, but it's also more paperwork for the police to fill out. Now, I actually have friends who are in the police department, and they had nothing good to say about any of that.
Well, when we look at these court decrees, I get suspicious if it really extends to all court cases, because we already have the specter of mandatory sentencing, and here in Arizona, where you and I both live, we're among the worst in the country here for this. We have privatized prisons that take money away from schools and other needed programs, and we have guaranteed these privately owned prisons that trace back to the Bush crime family, and I mean H.W. Bush, that they are guaranteed 100% occupancy rate in their prisons, and that's due to mandatory sentencing that the people behind the CCA and these other groups have managed to get through the state legislators. Now, what I'm getting really suspicious, Lisa, is when you mention these consent decrees, if they're going to have a role in sentencing, I smell George H.W. Bush big time. And I look for a lockup mentality and throw away the key based on what I know.
Oh, yeah. You know, I don't know if there's a full link on him yet or not, but I wouldn't be surprised at all. I mean, you know, we also got to take into effect, when we compare even America in general with all other countries, we have the most people in prison compared to anyone else. So we technically are a, quote, police state in that sense.
25% of the world's prisoners are in the United States, despite the fact we only have 4% of the world's population, which means when you go before a judge, you stand a 600% greater chance of going to prison than someone else in another country, on average. This is insanity. And this is what frustrates me. You know, I wrote something today and made a podcast on it, Lisa, and basically here was the theme. We are to blame for where we're at. We have such a dumbed-down population, so ignorant, that you can tell them these statistics and they don't even care. It bounces off them, it has no meaning for them, and that ultimately is our biggest enemy.
And that's, you know, there, it is. When you're not, when you're, I guess, not doing anything about it, it's almost part of the problem. They're not sharing the information, they're not informing people, and they don't care about what's going on. I mean, no sense, rhyme, or reason why. I mean, I still know people like that in my inner circle that I'm, you know, I just want to slap them and wake the heck up. And there's a lot of them, and it does add to the problem, because it's almost as if, and I, you know, I do compare it, but I think it's a worthy thing to compare. I mean, people, the Jews in Nazi Germany, were they prepared, or did a bunch of them stay put and get sent to a concentration camp because they thought everything was fine and didn't pay attention to what was going on? Or did some of them actually get the heck out of the country and save their lives as a result because they did pay attention and did understand what was going on? And I think we see the same mentality today. They see everything around them is hunky-dory happy, and it hasn't affected my life personally, though it has. I mean, at Common Core level, you have kids in school. They may not see it right in front of their face, but it's there in your local police departments that is getting more federal oversight, that's being militarized with MRAPs. It's there, your United Nations, in your colleges, in your schools, but yet people either they turn a blind eye or they don't pay attention. I mean, some of that is already in their immediate surroundings, but it's just that sense of, I don't know if it's government's the good guy, we're never going to hurt, because in my years of life and my grandpa's years of life, that hasn't happened yet, so we don't see this going on in the future. That I think that's what I'm seeing from people. Some people, obviously not our audience, who is wide awake, but they probably see a lot of that as well.
Well, it's what we often refer to in the business of psychology as cognitive dissonance. In the face of a conflicting set of events, our worldview is threatened, and we deny the events and hold to our worldview. I just had a conversation with someone on Friday, and it came up that he was voting for Hillary. And I just kind of bury my head and walk away. But I asked him, because I know the person really well, and I've known him for a long time, and I said, was this the decision you made before you dropped acid or after? And he looked at me, he said, I said, do you understand how sociopathic and how criminal she is? And he knew about Benghazi. He knew about the emails. He knew about so much of the criminality. And I had to educate him about her role in Lafarge and the rise of ISIS and how she helped to fund it when she was on the board of directors, and how it led to the death of 5,000 Kurds. And, you know, that's just one example of several that I gave him. And at the end of the day, he took all this in, didn't challenge anything. And he says, I believe you, but I can't vote for Trump because he looks and sounds like a buffoon. And I said, so you'd rather have Bonnie and Clyde back in the White House than a buffoon? And this is the mentality I run into on a daily basis, and I'm sure you do too.
Absolutely. You know, the other day I was in a salon, and they had on a radio station, and I don't even remember which one it was, but the guy was saying, yeah, I don't. And I could just hear everybody taking this in, and I wanted to, like, don't listen to this idiot. Like, I wanted to scream it. This, I don't remember what, it was some famous artist. I don't know all them because I don't listen to a bunch of that. But he was on the radio, and he was saying, yeah, I ain't voting for Donald Trump. I don't like Donald Trump. You know why I don't like Donald Trump? And he goes off, and they're like, why don't you like Donald Trump? And he said, well, because he eats his chicken with a fork. Anyone who eats his chicken, his Kentucky Fried Chicken with a fork, I can't trust the man. And I'm like, what is wrong with you? You're going to judge somebody based off a chicken and a fork? I mean, it's like, it has nothing to do with the actual policies, with what was really going on. And I'm like, do you realize who you're telling these people to cast their vote for? I mean, you know, for some idiotic, but it's just stupid. I'm like, is that really what we have boiled down to, an entertainment? If our, quote, presidential candidate doesn't entertain us in the right way, we don't vote for them because we don't trust them because they eat their chicken with a fork. I mean, get real.
Unfortunately, this is what we see. I mean, you know, we just canceled the Arizona Republican. For those outside Arizona, it's the state's largest daily paper, and it used to be highly conservative. Abortion was a four-letter word, for example. Stories about Christians doing good things were front page and center often. And this is in the time that I've lived here. And now they got bought out by Gannett Broadcasting, you know, Satan's Devil's Workshop. And I kept the paper for a while, because I wanted to see what the enemy was up to. It was kind of like looking inside their playbook. But it reached a point where everything in the paper was anti-Trump, and everything was pro-Hillary, not one mention of her scandals, except for the fact that she's not going to be prosecuted. See, she was never guilty after all. And by the way, we shouldn't have borders and ollie-ollie oxen free. And so finally, I said, you know, I know the playbook. I've got it memorized frontwards and backwards, and I canceled the paper. And here was their parting shot at me. It was kind of interesting. I was listening to my wife cancel the paper on speakerphone, and the guy said to her, "Why are you canceling?" And she said, "Because under liberals like you, we're losing our country. We cannot tolerate your paper any longer." And he said, "Oh, we're sorry to hear that. We just published the truth as is." But they have these people trained in these responses.
As is? No, they don't.
Oh, yeah. But this even gets better. Here's what they did to us. We were supposed to stop delivery. Now, I was fine with stopping delivery 10 years ago, but they were supposed to stop delivery on a Thursday, and they stopped on a Sunday, and they still billed us for an extra month. And I called them up, and I said, "You can't bill us for a service you're not offering." And they said, "Well, that's our policy." And I said, "Well, I see how you can support Hillary Clinton." I mean, the Arizona Republic is criminal. I mean, they're criminal, and they imitate the very people they worship. And you can go to any paper across this country. The LA Times is worse. But, you know, Lisa, you look at this, and we have been invaded from the bottom up and from the top down and sideways. You know, I don't know, Lisa, how long you've been involved in your advocacy work. For me, it goes back about 10 years when people tried to steal my property without compensation. But I have never seen a time in this country where we're under attack from so many different angles. I mean, how about you?
Absolutely. I mean, we're under attack big time. I mean, when we start thinking about these things, I mean, when did it become okay to sell, you know, say guns to ISIS and give weapons to ISIS and these foreign countries? When did it become okay to say, just because this gal is a woman, it's okay for her to have all these emails on an unsecured server and share classified information, which in my book, that's treason against the United States of America and putting our top secret information at risk? When did that become allowable? Not only that, but in another report that I put out yesterday, now this one referenced all the United Nations vehicles that people have been seeing all across the country. Now I kind of delved into this pretty hardcore and got all the information, but the reason that they're here, according to the UN's own admission, is they were working with Alpine Armoring. It's a international company. I guess they work for everyone, so to speak, international company. But what do? Well, they create hardcore, very technologically upscale vehicles that I personally believe they're in line with our top secret military and our top secret information. And here they are, the international organization, and they're making these vehicles for the United Nations. Now, they've shipped them from Virginia to the UN, but according to the United Nations, these vehicles they had put on an order for use in an undisclosed location abroad. So here's my thinking. So here we go to Alpine Armoring. They create armored vehicles of like top nature. Now, the Alpine armoring also does work for the Department of Justice. A governmental organization is hiring them to build these bulk vehicles, top armor. Now, here's my personal take on this, and I don't know if you agree or disagree with me, but I couldn't help but think, why is it and when did it become okay to sell such, in my opinion, that's top secret. That should be kept for our military, our people here in America, our president, you know, when we get a good one, for crying out loud, and all the other agencies locally here in America. It shouldn't be treated as an international organization. Let's just sell these top vehicles to other countries and then sell the exact same ones here to America to our government, who takes them and uses them in these military battles. I mean, get real. And here this organization is selling them to the UN. When did that become okay? And they're doing it legally. And it just ticks me off, because when I think about it, I'm like, that's a treasonous act. Don't do work for our government and then turn around and do work for the United Nations and other countries and say, oh, well, we're international, we do it for all. Well, now everybody knows everybody else's secrets. It's like trading military secrets. And nobody said anything about this. And it just breaks my heart, because the America that I once knew and loved, you know, is not going to go handing out secrets to Joe Schmo and everyone else and selling that type of technology. So in my opinion, this type of technology should be for, you know, our military personnel and not be given out to Joe Schmo to use that, quote, undisclosed location. Now, friend or foe, we don't even know. But in my opinion, the UN ain't no friend anyway. What's your take?
Well, y'all, if I had my way, we'd be dismantling the UN brick by brick and throwing all the bricks in the East River. But unfortunately, what you highlighted there is the fact that the Department of Justice is a division under the control of the United Nations. I mean, they're a foreign entity, and I do agree with you. This is on its face treason. But I'll give you something even bigger, in my opinion, that's treasonous. I can't remember if you've touched on this or not. I have ad nauseum. But the New York Times ran a story last year, and I was able to investigate it and expand upon it. But Hillary Clinton, through a series of front companies, the last one being Uranium One, sells uranium to the Russians. And we executed Julius and Ethel Rosenberg in the 1950s for selling nuclear secrets to the Soviet Union. And now we've got Clinton selling BLM land uranium to the Russians that can be used in nuclear weapons. And if that's not treason, it could be enforced with the ultimate penalty. I don't know what is. And yet, this is out there. No one has ever challenged the validity of the story that I ran, because the source, the original baseline of this, is the New York Times. No one's challenged this. But Lisa, no one's acting on it. And here's what's frustrating for me. And I have brought this up to people I know that know people in the Trump movement, the Trump campaign. This information is now publicly available, and it's widely disseminated. Why is Trump worried about insulting a Muslim family for insulting him, and they lost their kid in Afghanistan, rather than focusing on these major criminal actions by Clinton that are provable? Do you have any feelings on that?
You know, here, let me say this. I think what absolutely makes sense is, we all know Hillary is a criminal, but her two top donors are Uranium One and Monsanto. She has them in her back pocket. Now, as far as Donald Trump, you know, I'm very hopeful for him. I really hope that he is who he says he is and he turns this country around. I mean, I'll be casting my vote for him when I go to the polls, because I certainly don't think there's going to be a you and me doing our YouTube channels and talking on our radio shows if we have another, quote, Obama in office. Step by step, they're going to take away our freedom of speech. They're already doing it without all while taking away our freedom. So I guess I'm at that point where, you know, I hope and pray that, you know, that should be something that Donald Trump should bring up. That's my personal thought. I mean, talk about these uranium ones. Talk about the Monsanto and Why, I guess, you know, whether or not he actually divulges that information, time will tell.
I'm coming out tomorrow with a podcast on YouTube, and basically I tell Trump to keep his eye on the ball. He is so distracted right now by the minor nuances that he should be letting roll off of him, and he should be taking on Clinton's criminality front and center. I mean, the catchphrase is, criminal Hillary were cute in the beginning and kind of funny, but now what's going to win this election are cold, hard facts about her character, her conduct. And Lisa, I'm not hearing it from him. I'm going to really go out on a limb here. I'm still in the camp of the Trump campaign. And I'm voting, and I've said this from day one, I'm voting for the movement much more so than the man. But part of me is wondering, is he trying to throw this election? He brings on Pence as the vice president, who's never met a free trade agreement that he disapproved of, and yet this is one of the two major platforms that Trump ran on in the primary. I'm confused. Can you help straighten out my confusion?
I wish I could. You know, I mean, I guess, you know, I don't like Pence's stance on any of the trade stuff, and that doesn't make sense. I know, obviously, Donald Trump and Mike Pence disagree a great deal on, you know, as far as the TPP and all that is concerned, but what is the true stance on that? I mean, you know, I don't know who's actually going to handle and who's going to win out in the end. I guess that's to be determined. But I guess there isn't a straight answer, and I think that's why I say I'm hopeful. I'm hopeful that, you know, at least the movement, I kind of like that. You're voting for the movement. You're voting for Trump. I think he does stand for a lot in America. And that's what I do like about him, is he does stand for more freedom. And I think people honestly and truly take that to heart. Whereas that wasn't taken to heart with Bush. That wasn't taken to heart with Mitt Romney when they were, which, you know, they were junk as well, you know, when they came in and ran or, you know, against the Democrats at the time. But, you know, I know there is a lot. Now, one thing that I was, I guess, proud of Trump about is he is actually pulling out the fraud of the rigged election. He has been talking about that and how Hillary is rigging the election. So, and I think that's a good move for Donald Trump right now, because that needs to be brought front and centered. Now, it got so much light that President Obama even came out with a message saying, no, the election's not rigged. We don't even handle that. Well, that depends, you know. If your state won, you know, last year, you know, who's really in control of it? But nonetheless, every single person, doesn't matter what side, Democrat, Independent, Republican, no party, you know, whoever, they will tell you they honestly believe the elections are rigged. And so for Obama to have to come out and combat that with Donald Trump, I almost giggled. I'm like, yeah, okay, everybody knows it's rigged. You cannot fight that, but somebody needs to bring it up and do something about it. So that was one good thing, I guess we could say.
Well, the Stanford study jumps out right in my mind. They studied the Democratic primary, and they found that when Clinton and Sanders were in states where they only used paper ballots, the exit polls accurately predicted the outcome. However, in the states that used the electronic voting machines, Clinton enjoyed a 9% advantage over the exit polls, which is impractical. I mean, statistically, I don't even see how it's possible. And it's not being challenged, yet it came out in a Stanford University study. And this is what, in part, she's going to do. The other thing that I've written about, Lisa, is the fact that in so many locations that voters don't have to show IDs, and how many illegal immigrants are going to vote. You know, I call them unregistered Democrats here. How many are going to vote 10 and 20 times? And this is why I've said in the swing states, where the swing states are almost all on electronic voting machines, surprise, surprise, and the two largest manufacturers of the electronic voting machines are Clinton Foundation donors. And when we look at this, I mean, he has to win, I think, by about 20% of the popular vote. And he's blowing it right now, in my opinion. He's absolutely blowing it. Forget how the Democrats trotted a Muslim parents out grieving over their lost military son. I feel bad for them. He was serving his country. There's nothing to be made fun of. And the difference is, they're Americans. There weren't immigrants that came in from Syria unscreened and unvetted and could pose a threat to us. He should just let that stuff go, and he should focus on the big things, and only the big things. And he could win over the people who are the undecideds, because the undecideds are going to win the election one way or the other. If he has to win by a 20% majority in Pennsylvania, Ohio, Florida, and so forth, he's got to bring in these undecided people. And he's not going to do it with the insults he's throwing out on a personal level. At least that's my personal opinion. I never yelled at my players when I coach college basketball. Maybe I'd be good for one a year. But if I could have a halftime with the Trump people right now, I'd be screaming at them, what the hell are you doing? This is your game to win. You're in charge. You hold all the power. You have the truth on your side, and the only thing you can do is screw it up and lose the election on your own. That's what I'd be saying to him right now.
Yeah. I mean, when you think of all this, WikiLeaks and the DNC emails that came out, you know? And I actually read through a lot of those. It took some time, but when you read through them, there was a ton of fraud going on with Hillary Clinton against personally Bernie Sanders. That was the majority of it. There was some with Trump, but it's just because those are the emails that were released at the time. And, you know, and I think these are some pretty big cards that need to be played. I think some of them are being played by Trump, but I agree. It's not enough, and we do need to hit it more hardcore if we want to win over Hillary. And considering she is going, and we all know that she's going to rig it and try to steal some of those votes, we need to try harder than ever, because I think the only way that Donald Trump is going to win it, and we have some sense of freedom, at least that's what I'm hopeful for, then we're going to have to get a majority to vote for Donald Trump, because she can steal some of those, but they can't do it to all of them. If there is a massive outcry for one over the other, then I think it will be harder for that to happen. I mean, do you think that?
Well, I do. But see, here's the playing field that's getting created. Hillary can't run from her criminality. It's out there front and center. And when you got the FBI director calling her reckless as a way to cover up, and most Americans wanted her prosecuted, that's on one side. And that right there should lose her the election. But see, the waters are being muddied by Trump himself. The minute he has a misspeak, every mainstream media outlet is going to cover that, exaggerate it, and lie about it, except for Fox, when Fox is in the hip pocket of Donald Trump right now, because he and Rupert Murdoch have done a deal I've written about. But Lisa, when you look at this, he's got to be really careful what he says. And this is why he needs to stick to the script. Keep your eye on the ball and talk about the big issues. And when the little things come up, just say, you know, this isn't even worthy of my comment. About the Muslim couple, he should have said, I'm sorry for their loss. I understand their grief. But I don't think the Democrats should be trying to capitalize on a family's grief.
I agree.
I would like to get in there and write some speeches. I mean, and I'm not even a speechwriter, but I'm so frustrated. Anyway, what else is on your radar? Because you cover so many things.
Well, lots of different things. I know I've kind of focused a lot, some on the election and the UN and the 21st Century Police Force is another part of that. That's the document that came out a while back. And I think that's a step before federalization, and it's just getting the people used to police activity in all levels. Interesting document. I want to say it's a couple hundred pages, but I've read through the whole thing, and that one was really touchy to me, because they want to put them in our religious facilities and, you know, all of that as well. Now let me kind of go back to Donald Trump, because there's one more point I kind of was excited about when we had the RNC and he gave his final speech there. One thing really stuck with me, and I'm going to hold him to it if he becomes presidency or president, excuse me, but it's the 501c3 comment that he made saying, you know, we need to get those out of the churches, the verbiage anyhow that was added in where it doesn't allow the churches, they can't speak certain political things. And he actually addressed it. I've never heard a presidential candidate ever bring that up or address it. Why? Because they want to be in the pockets and the hands of the church. They want to control the churches where they can't back any candidate. They can't say this or that for this person or that person. There's a big line to be drawn with the churches that have these 501c3s, which I can't stand. You know, I mean, yeah, you get your tax write-off, but what are you giving up for that? So Donald Trump had made a statement that he was going to change the verbiage on that. I mean, what is your take on that? Did you get to hear that?
I did, and I was saying hooray, hooray. I mean, Lisa, I can't tell you the number of conversations I've had with various church officials through the years. And I say, why aren't you covering this and this from the pulpit? Well, we don't, as a church, embrace conspiracy theories. This is what I hear a lot. And I look at them, and this is my pat answer for this now. I've got this down to a fine art because I've heard it so many times. I said, well, wasn't Jesus killed as the result of a conspiracy? So why would you reject conspiracy theories since the foundation of our faith emanates from this?
That's good. I gotta write that down. I like it.
They usually don't have an answer, though, for this. And I'm saying, we are supposed to be warriors for the truth. This is what Christ commands, that we are warriors who stand in the face of evil and ask for God's guidance and protection. And right now, we got a bunch of wimpy little sissies as pastors in this country who are afraid of their own shadow.
I know. And here's the other thing that ticks me up when these churches start doing that. No, we don't talk about that. Oh, we don't bring up Revelation. Oh, this and that. And, you know, things get worse in our culture. Let me give you one example. The Satanic Temple. We know that for years they've been dead targeting Christianity specifically. Anywhere that a Christian organization is renting out a school, using it, or, you know, has Bibles or whatever, the Church of Satan goes in there and tries to do the same thing. One example, we know Bibles were being handed out by this one organization. Well, they wanted to go in and sell their satanic coloring books. Well, what happened as a result there in Orange County, Florida, is both got banned. They're like, oh, no Christian literature, no satanic literature. And yet the churches did nothing. You know, they are quiet about this. Well, since it worked so good for the satanic church, you know, when they try to do the coloring book, well, now they're doing it even more. So we know that they went and delivered a speech at, you know, it was Michigan and Michigan, Detroit. I know they even tried it in Phoenix here. And, you know, and what happened? Well, one of them, I think it's in Detroit, I'm pretty sure, they actually went out and delivered a full ceremony on the main courthouse lawn there, you know, opening ceremony with their full satanic invocation. Now, it didn't happen here. I think Phoenix just shut them both down, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, they did. They tried to get into the Phoenix City Council. Yeah, and they were both shut down. You're absolutely right. Well, I wrote about this.
All.
I did it. Go ahead.
I got to tell you one more thing. And then I just see this. It's like every time I got to add something to it. And what did the church do? Not a darn thing. And then here, let's fast forward here, you know, again, now the satanic church, the satanic temple is offering after school Satan programs.
Yeah. Yes.
After school Satan. I actually called the school, because there's a whole list of them. I called and spoke with them. One of them I actually recorded on my YouTube video. That was the one in Utah. But I called a bunch of the schools. A lot. There was like two or three that were really rude. You have to, one of them, I'll get your number. What's your name and number? I felt like I was going to get like in trouble. Like, do I give you my name and number? Am I going to jail? Did I do something wrong because I asked? You know, a simple question. And another one, well, I can't talk about that, you know. And then finally, I got to talk to one, and that was the Vista Elementary School in Salt Lake City, Utah. Now, the guy, he was really nice, but he said, here's what it is. This is not affiliated with the school. The school doesn't sell the information. They don't have anything to do with it. Okay, great. That's good news, right? You know, the school doesn't get involved, as they don't get involved and hold a Bible study or whatever, was kind of an example that he had given. But neither or. However, whatever organization wants to rent the building after school hours, be it a Christian organization, be it the Satanic Club of Satan, they can. And then they can go on the sidewalk after school hours and distribute, quote, literature, if they so deem. So this is kind of what's happening here. You know, and the schools that were targeted were the same ones that had, you know, rented their some of them anyway, they had rented their building to a Christian group or Christian organization. And here the Satanic Church is. And I encourage everybody to go to that website, because you got to see this video. It was disturbing, and it's supposed to be aimed at kids, and you could hear demons in the background. I say maybe not watch it at your house, but it was disturbing, and it was on the After School Satan Find a Club, an advertisement for this group. But this is what I'm seeing, and I'm seeing it increased. Why is it increased? Because the churches are not doing anything. They got the 501c3, they're good to go, and they're not allowed to talk about anything else going on, right?
Well, that's right. We have both written about this. I did a YouTube video on this as well, and what you are saying is exactly correct. And, you know, here's what we've done. We've kind of denigrated into low-level, black-and-white thinking on the law rather than looking at the intent of the law. This nation was not founded by Satanists. It was founded by men who professed a belief in Jesus Christ. I'm not saying we should have state-sponsored religion, but I'm also saying that parents have a right not to have their kids exposed to this crap.
I agree. Amen.
Amen. Do we hear amen from the audience? Yeah. Lisa, we only got a couple of minutes left, and I wanted to make sure that people know how to follow your good work. I mentioned you're on Before It's News, but you are in other places. Let's talk about that.
Yes. I'm also on freedomnationnews.com. If people want to check me out there, that's a brand new website I'm kicking off. So great information there on, and also lisahavennews.net, and they could always look me up on YouTube under Lisa Haven. And hopefully I wasn't too passionate for you. I know there's like some topics I get a little more emotional about than others, and I'm like, whoa.
No, this was
hopefully it was good.
This was an enjoyable hour. I mean, enjoyable and disturbing at the same time. I agree with you. I mean, ending on the Satan note is probably a good place to end. But real quickly, we only got about a minute, but you wrote something about someone's dream about descending to hell, or their story about it. Could you tell that in a real encapsulated fashion?
Oh, yeah. The guy had gone to hell, experienced, you know, what you would imagine in hell. He even heard a demon say, you know, I got you, you're mine. And he had called out to Jesus, you know, when you're there, that's the only thing you can think to do. And that's what I want to encourage people to do, call out to Jesus before it's too late. Because we're only here for an amount of time. And thankfully, the Lord pulled him up from that and brought him back so he can share his message. And that's my message to everyone out there is, you know, lean on Christ and get right with him before it's too late.
That's a great place to end. Lisa, you've been a delight. We're definitely going to have you back again. And everybody, please visit the places that she mentioned. Follow her good work. Thanks, Lisa, for joining us.
Thanks for having me on. Bye, Dave.
Bye-bye, Lisa. Well, we are going to take a break here. And when we come back, we'll be joined by Virginia Farver. And news is going to get more disturbing. Stay tuned.